Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
On this Encore show, Darren and I are so grateful for the freedoms we have in this country. We make a daily habit of thanking God for not only salvation, but for everything that goes along with the redemptive package. It is important that you don't take the food that you eat for granted, but thank God before every meal and everything you put in your mouth. We discuss how so many Christians are fearful of what other people think of them. John Wesley said, "Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not a straw whether they be clergymen or laymen. Such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven on earth." You can accomplish so much on this earth when you pray in the name of Jesus. Now let's join the program.
We live in a free nation where we can praise the Lord anytime we want to. We can pray publicly, we can pray privately, we can pray in groups, and what a wonderful joy. Mm-hmm. And Barbara, would you like to start?
I want to say the other night that we were with a couple, we were in front of a very well-known restaurant in Denver. We were standing out there on the sidewalk, young people going to the prom later on in the night. They were all in their formals and tuxedos in front of the restaurant, and a lot of people around there, and we got in a circle and we prayed there. Darren, that is a mark of America. We have those freedoms. And I pray that today and every day, 365 days a year, we will not take that freedom for granted, because that's something given to us by our forefathers. They gave us the freedom. And Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I praise you for who you are, that you gave us these wonderful freedoms. Help us, Lord, to not be so bogged down with the problems and the controversies in this country that we forget about our freedoms that we can enjoy every day. Oh, Lord, we want to praise you more than anything else. We want to praise you, Abba, Father, because you not only created the world, but you gave us opportunity for you to dwell in us as Abba, Father, as our daddy. And we praise you so much for your heart of love, your unconditional heart of love that is consumed with loving your children more and more each day. And Father, I thank you that we are not hindered in any way in America from praying out on the streets, from talking about you, from being on this radio broadcast. And I praise you, Lord, and I thank you that we're able to reach our friends and our partners across the state lines without any hindrance. Thank you, and we're so grateful, Father, for these freedoms that we enjoy today. And we praise you, and we give you all the honor and glory. We take none for ourselves. In your precious name, amen.
You know, Barbara, I've been in business situations where they were ready to eat. The meal had been served in a restaurant. And I use this as an opportunity to witness. And I could be very secular people. And, you know, usually there's not even a signal given. They just grab their silverware and they go for it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I say, "Hey, would you guys mind if I pray? It's kind of my tradition." Or I might say something else. I always pray over my food. Would it bother you if I'd pray? I pray out loud. I pray for my meal and theirs too. I don't make a long prayer out of it, and I don't try to make it a preachy prayer, but I let them know that I'm thankful for the food and maybe for the free country I live in. Thank you, Father. Amen. And that's a great way to witness, but we should pray. And so what if they feel awkward? Well, let them feel awkward. But you know, we get through that, and it's a great time to just put out a witness there that I'm a Christian and I'm thankful for my food.
That's right. And you know, God wants us to thank him for our food, and especially, you know, around dinner time, because in 1 Timothy 4:4, Darren, it says, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by the means of the word of God in prayer." So when you do pray those prayers around the table, even with worldly people, that sanctifies what goes into our body when we're thanking God for our food. I believe that gets rid of all of the bacteria and anything that happened in the back room or the kitchen that was not sanitary. And I praise God for that.
And those things are always sanitary, as we know. I mean, if you listen to television, you know that, you know, all kinds of things can happen with our food. But you know, over the years, I have been really chastised by the Lord from time to time. When you sit down around a table and somebody has the most recent blonde joke, and they can tell that to a bunch of total strangers, mm-hmm. hoping that the blondes aren't sitting right next to them, right? But now, the Lord said, now, if you can tell a joke like that, or you can enjoy a funny story like that, why do you have such a fear of man that you can't speak up as a Christian?
Yes.
And I mean, God's gotten after me so many times over that. And finally, I had to get over the fear of man and say, now, you know, they're not going to pay my mortgage, and they're not going to pay my car payment, and they're not going to fill my car up with the next tank of gas. Why am I so concerned about what they think about me?
Yeah.
And several years ago, I met a businessman who is an acquaintance, and on the back of his card, he had printed these words: "What you think of me is absolutely none of my business."
Yes.
Now, really, when you think about that, in a way, that's true. And why should we be so intimidated by even just strangers or acquaintances? Why can't we just be ourselves? If they don't respect my God, that's up to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus was a prime example of that. He went right into the synagogue, which was the haven of all the Pharisees and Sadducees, and he went in there. And his reason for going into that synagogue, well, of course, it was crowded full of people, and that's where he could teach his word. But he was also there to undo tradition of man. And fear of man is in that tradition of man. The populace feels intimidated, like you said, to do something against the majority. And I believe we need to be strong and zealous and bold to do what God calls us to do.
Exactly.
Before we get into that prayer of repentance, could I just quote this thing from John Wesley? He says, "Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not a straw whether they be clergymen or laymen." That means I don't care whether they're ordained by man or they're laymen in a congregation. "Such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven on earth. God does nothing but in answer to prayer." Thank you, John Wesley, for that wonderful quote.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Barbara, we really need to think it through. Do I have a fear of man that keeps me from being the Christian I need to be? And some people don't even want to pray in front of their family. You know, they're intimidated to do that.
You know, you're right. That's true.
And I think that has to be wrong. And I think that if we are intimidated by that, or we have a sense of great unworthiness or whatever it is, it really boils down to a fear of rejection. Well, maybe they'll reject me. Maybe they will explode and say, "Why are you doing that right now?" And I think that we need to learn to pray in front of our family and in front of other people. We need to, quit being so chicken.
I'm going to ask you a question, and I have out of the blue.
You may need prayer.
If you belong in a family,
yes,
where the majority of the family were not Christians, and you were primarily the only believer, and they would allow you to pray, I'm talking about mealtime, pray a prayer, but there was one or two children at the table, and they were snickering and laughing while this prayer was going on, what kind of discipline would you discipline in that area?
Now, where am I in the family?
Well, you're listening to either a believer pray or you're praying.
But am I the dad, or am I the brother, or the sibling?
You can be anybody.
Makes a difference.
Oh, it does it? Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. What if you were, this was your home, and the family came for like Thanksgiving, and quite a few of them were not born again, and during the prayer there was snickering and laughing? What would you do as the owner of this home where everybody congregates?
I'm the host.
You are the host.
I'm the host. Well, I certainly wouldn't let it go unnoticed, and I might say, you know, something, "Joe, did you think that was funny?" You know, I wouldn't say it judgmentally, but you know, that really wasn't funny. That's very serious, because God provides our food. And have you ever been hungry? I mean, I would not be without words to say.
Okay, so you would bring it up, but
certainly,
you wouldn't pour the condemnation.
No, I wouldn't condemn
them. Or you wouldn't take them out of the room and discipline.
No,
okay.
Well, they're not my kids.
Well, you know, that's very good. And usually when you ask a question first, that gets their attention, instead of coming down on them in a derogatory manner. Say, "Did you think that was cute? Or did you think that was silly?"
You know, is part of my prayer funny?
Yeah. Was it funny?
You know,
is that why you're laughing?
Yeah, I keep it lighthearted,
yeah.
But I'd also be expecting the Holy Spirit to go after the parents of those children if the parents are there. But you know, sometimes, and some kids are just so awkward and they don't know what to do. And so they laugh and they giggle because they feel maybe embarrassed, or they've never heard anybody pray.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in one church where we were, and a young man came and he got saved, and right away they asked him to pray. And he didn't know how to pray. Oh, never been taught.
God
and
bless
he bowed his head and said, "Now I lay me down to sleep." That's the only prayer he knew. Well, we have to realize that there are those among us that haven't been always churched.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I pastored a church, I would say to my congregation, now, you look down the row there, some guy stumbling around, he doesn't know Genesis from Exodus, help him. Mm-hmm. Help him.
Well,
I mean, how was he going to know?
I've noticed when we've been with maybe a couple and he's just been born again.
Sure.
And you ask him within that little circle of a foursome if he would like to pray. And that's when he prays first. And I've seen you do this in three or four instances.
Break the ice. Right?
Break the ice. Get them to pray with a circle of four first before you
ask them to pray in a congregation.
Well, I've seen some people do that. They're
well,
just stupid.
I think that's
to
a lack of discretion and
yes.
a bunch of other things,
yes,
but
that's right.
Sometimes I think we do need to help those new believers, and I've done it like this. When I know the guys, you know, he trusts me, and we're in a foursome, and say it's he and his wife and you and me, and we're there, and I might, let's call him Joe, I might say, "Hey, Joe, you know something? I never heard you pray, man. Oh, I don't know how to pray. You pray better than I do, and you know, blah, blah, blah." No, seriously, Joe, it's prayers talking to God. Go ahead. And we'll wait, and it's okay. I mean, you know, you don't have to be perfect. And I've watched them break that ice, and they pray, and it's a victory for them. It's not a time of embarrassment and defeat. It's a victory.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife's sitting over there bawling her brains out because she's one that she'd never heard her husband pray, mm-hmm. and he just got born again.
Yes.
You know, I've heard that so many times, and that is such a joy, and I think we have to be leaders in that way. And then I think we need to be complimentary and say, you know something, that was really a super prayer. And I think, again, about our friend that's in the rest home. She's 88 years old. She'd never prayed in front of anybody. And about 6 months ago, I said to her, would you like to pray? Oh, no, Darren, you go ahead. No, I've never heard you pray. She prayed a beautiful child's prayer.
Yes, childlike prayer.
It was a child's prayer, like her first prayer. I said, "You never prayed in front of anybody, have you?" "No, I haven't."
Mm.
Well, I believe that broke the ice for her. And I frequently, when I visit her, I say, "Have you been praying for me?" "Oh, yes, Darren, I pray for you and Barbara every day." Well, we're encouraging her to develop a prayer life. Now, when we go in and she doesn't hear us coming because her hearing isn't just perfect, she'll be over there in her wheelchair, and many times we hear her singing and praying.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a joy. But that came out of ministry of drawing her out and saying, you know, it's really okay. You don't have to pray a priestly prayer and sound like a preacher, you know.
Well, that's what I want to say too, Darren. Prayer is so different to each and every one of us.
Sure.
And prayer is not a long, drawn out, sophisticated, educated, verse that we say over and over again. Prayer is speaking to our Father. It is like if my earthly father were still alive, that I would go to him and we'd carry on a conversation. Prayer is speaking to him and then waiting for a few minutes and speaking to him again and praising him.
Sure.
And,
it's conversation.
It is. It really truly is a time with our Father.
You know, when you, with your intimate friends, sometimes you can say there and, you know, maybe it's a time of heaviness for maybe both of you or one of you. And there are very few words spoken, but it's almost like there's a heart-to-heart conversation or communication. I think it needs to be that same way with our Heavenly Father. And if you've had a lousy day and you want to tell your Heavenly Father, "Listen, I don't feel like praying right now, so I'm going to be quiet." You know, really, in a sense, you're already praying because you're communicating with your Father.
Yes.
And your Heavenly Father, and He knows when you've had a rotten, stinky day. He knows that. He already knows that. And nothing catches Him by surprise. And He can know when your emotions, in a sense, have just gone south and you're all out of sorts and maybe you don't want to talk to the Lord because you feel like you'd say something wrong. Or maybe you're mad at the Lord. Maybe you think, "Well, Lord, I thought you were going to come through for me today, and boy, I tell you something, there was no way I'd know you even there."
Mm-hmm.
Well, people that get to know God well can express themselves emotionally to their Heavenly Father and know He's not going to whack them. He's not going to send lightning to teach them a lesson. I mean, because He's a loving, giving Heavenly Father.
That's
and
right.
We need to go to Him with that in mind.
Yes.
Now, I'm about ready to read this prayer of repentance for our nation. Do you want to add anything before I read this?
No.
Okay, this is a marvelous prayer. And I think about 1 year I went to Washington, D.C. to celebrate the National Day of Prayer. And I believe in it. I'm so glad our country still has that. And it's recognized in Congress and from the very top of our nation. And now with a Christian president that's truly a Christian in his heart and in his practice, we can certainly say our nation here was founded on Christian principles. All right, I'm going to read this because it is such a profound prayer. Paul Harvey has given this, and he might be giving it even this day on his show, but he got it from Pastor Joe Wright in Kansas. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. But that is exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium, reversed our values. We confess that. We have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We worshiped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We've indulged perversion and called it alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it politics. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent to lead and direct us to the center of your will. We openly ask this in the name of your Son, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. This is a great prayer by Pastor Joe Wright of Kansas. And he gets this whole thing from 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, this is God himself speaking, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. Praise God. Darren, this in the name of your Son Jesus, where did that come from? Why do we have to say in the name of Jesus? And most prayers that you hear prayed is Father God in Jesus' name. Where do we get that in Jesus' name?
Well, there's so many scriptures in the gospel that talk about whatever you ask in my name, for example, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We need to honor the Lord God by calling on his name. And here, this scripture that you just read, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Now, when we humble ourselves in the name of Jesus, we're saying there's an authority over us that's higher and greater, and we give the ultimate choice to him as to how our lives should be directed. Well, we can be a very assertive people, but I'm going to tell you, when it really comes down to it, we need to honor the Lord God and say, there is a covering over me. I do not make the last decisions for my life.
I leave
that to the Lord God. I'm going to depend on him for eternal life. I'm going to depend on him, and that's in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm going to depend on the Lord God to provide me a house, food to eat, clothes to wear, car to drive, gas for the car. I'm going to depend on the Lord God to provide for my life. And I think that is so important. When we do that, we need to know that ultimately there is someone else that has the last word. And really the wise thing to do is go to him first and let him have the first word. Most of us don't do that. You know, we charge off, and as my dad said, you know, you'd saddle your horse and ride off in all directions. That means you're going in circles. That means you don't have a good game plan. That means that you're trying to make all the decisions for yourself. And I've said over the years, and I still stand by it, that one of the reasons we have so much mental illness in the United States is that we have tried to make our minds do the ordering of everything. We've tried to make our minds the center of everything without sometimes a value structure. You know, our minds can't do what our heart was created to do. And the very central part of our life should be our heart. And by the way, as Christians, that's the part of us that's born again. And we need to discipline our minds to listen to our heart. And the heart is where the values are established, and the ordering of our lives. It really should come out of our hearts. And the Bible says in Matthew, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you can tell where a person is rather quickly if you just listen to their words. What are they saying? How are they saying it? And all of those things come down. Now, I'm thinking of the scripture you just read, Barb, out of 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I'm thinking about this relating to the moisture that we've had here in Denver. Now, our farmers, bless their hearts, went to the Grange Halls, and they went to the town centers, and they had a prayer meeting. And they asked God to send rain. And here in Denver, we were in on the eastern plains and over into Kansas, Nebraska. We were in real trouble because we were running out of moisture for the crops and for drinking water. And I mean, they were telling us where we live in Aurora, which is right next to Denver, we couldn't even wash our car outside. We couldn't water the grass, and they were saying no gardens this year. Well, so we as city people were praying right along with the farmers. And guess what? We got from 3.5 to 7.5 feet of snow here along the Front Range, saved our lives.
Mm-hmm. And we've gotten 200 more inches in the high country than our average, which is phenomenal.
200 more inches.
200 more inches in the
bunch,
high country. Yes, it really is.
Well, and of course that water goes from Colorado down into Kansas, out into California. It's very important, but we humbled ourselves and prayed, and God answered our prayer.
Mm-hmm. I want to bring up the name of Jesus again. I'm sorry to go from Second Chronicles again, but in the book of Acts, and you're so right, over and over again, the apostles in the New Testament church were repeating, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And here in Acts 2, Peter is saying to them, repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And one of your favorite stories, Darren, is when they saw the man at the gate, beautiful. What did Peter say to him?
Well, I have it right in front of me.
Okay.
Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold. See, the man was asking for money. He had to be a professional beggar just to make it. Mm-hmm. But what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazarene, walk.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's so true.
Now, when you get to understand the name of Jesus, you know that it's a place. There are things stored there for you. And that's what Peter was saying. I've got access to the storehouse here. I've got resources. I have a resource you need. You're a cripple. You were born with a birth defect. You've never walked. He's not only getting to have you stand up, but he's instantly going to teach you how to walk. This man never walked. Mm-hmm. He didn't have any memory of what it would be like to walk. And then he jumped up and he ran through the temple.
Yes, and all through the book of Acts, when they baptized people, which after they received salvation and confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and turned away from their sins, they were baptized or immersed in water. They did that in the name of Jesus. They were baptized in the name of Jesus. And as we've been reading through the book of Philippians, Darren, in Philippians 2, verse 9, it talks about how Jesus emptied himself. And God is giving Paul this wonderful verse, therefore also God highly exalted Jesus and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. See, through Jesus' obedience, he was given this name that frees us from our sin and helps us overcome our past and gives us new personalities, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What a great verse. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory.
I believe that that's where we're giving credit to what covers us, and we're giving allegiance to the spiritual kingdom that we serve and that we're a part of. And I believe that you mentioned baptism. I believe in immersion. Now, when I came into the Methodist church as a kid, Dad chose to be sprinkled. That's still a tradition of the Methodist church. You can be sprinkled, they can pour water on you, or you can be immersed. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of immersion because you're really giving yourself over, in a sense. You're going under the water.
That's right.
And it's covering you, and I believe that is so significant. You know, I can't tell you how important that is to really get baptized. If you haven't been baptized, why don't you search out, and a church shouldn't be hard to find that has a baptismal, and the pastor will baptize you.
Praise God.
And particularly if you confess to them, listen, I have Jesus Christ in my heart, but I've never been baptized. I'd recommend that you do that.
Remember the night that we were baptized at Rodney Howard Brown's baptismal service? That was absolutely a highlight of my Christian walk. And how many were baptized that same night?
Several hundred.
Yes, several hundred. And they just cleared away the pews and everything and brought in this huge swimming pool and baptized maybe 20 at a time. And it was wonderful. And yes, that is the baptism that Jesus went through. And I believe, Darren, that's an example set for us that we should also participate in.
It also does a real number on pride, because you come out of there, your hair's messed up.
It is.
I mean, you've been under the water.
You have. Now, if those of you who, Darren read this prayer of repentance for our nation, if you would like to have a copy of this, just call us at 1-866 917-7256 and leave your name and address. Sometimes you're speaking, I know you're probably nervous, but you're speaking quickly and you don't give us the whole zip or the whole address, and we get your mail back and we don't try to get you again. So if you haven't gotten mail from us and you've called us, I would really appreciate if you would call again, 1-866-917-7256, and do that after our live shows, and we will send you this prayer of repentance for our nation. And if you ask for a magazine, we'll also send you a free magazine, a Freedom magazine.
Yeah, we want you to know what we're all about here, folks.
Yes.
But now, I know we're talking to some people today that if you knew Jesus up close at some time and you've fallen away, the Bible calls that backsliding. Or maybe you've never come to Jesus. You're still over there in the kingdom of darkness, and you're suddenly realizing there's more, that something's missing in your life. If you want to accept Jesus Christ today, I want to tell you how to come to Him. And it's by saying and admitting who you are. Just be honest. Say, yeah, I'm a sinner. Yeah, Darren, you don't have to jump on my head and tell me I'm a sinner. I've done a bunch of things wrong. I know that. Okay, so now we're on the same page here. But if you want to stop sinning and you want God to be an integral part of your life, an important part of your life, I want you to pray this prayer. And what you're doing is admitting you're a sinner and you're calling out to God to help you and to save you, because right now you're lost in terms of the gospel. You're lost. You're on the outside. And you want to be on the inside. Here's how you do that. I'm going to pray, and I ask Barbara to pray right along with you. And whether you're in your car or home or your office or wherever you're listening, you can pray this prayer. And when you do, you will get born again. You get a new heart. All right, here we go. Now pray this and mean it in your heart. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I want you to come into my heart.
I want you to come into my heart.
I want you to take all the sin away.
I want you to take all the sin away.
And all the junk away.
And all the junk away.
And please give me a fresh start.
Please give me a fresh start.
I need to change.
I need to change.
I've tried to change on my own.
I've tried to change on my own.
That has not worked.
And it has not worked.
So I need your help.
So I need your help.
So today I humble myself.
So today I humble myself.
And ask you to save me.
And ask you to save me.
I want to change.
I want to change.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I believe you've done that.
I believe you've done that.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.